Hello, everybody who's listening here tonight. You guys are going to be treated to the 50th episode of the Red Sox Unfiltered podcast, number 50. I'm your host, Patrick Green. Super excited to having been doing this for 50 episodes, but really fun to hit this milestone. Joining me as always, through since the OG number one, is my lovely co-host, Dave Latham. Dave, say hi.
How's it going? And I don't think that's entirely true. Didn't you do like one or two on your own before I joined in?
We don't want to talk about those days. No, I mean, I did, but they're not like added to our current total. So
we restarted the number?
Yeah, we restarted the number. You and I's first episode was during when there was like a hurricane outside my house or something, or like a tornado warning. I remember that. I don't know. But that was the first one that was ever actually aired and pinned as number one, so.
You've been through
thick and thin. And joining me also as always, but not really as always because he has not been through thick and thin, but he's been a member of Red Sox and Filter for a very long time and a fundamental and long-standing host and producer of this podcast, Chris Rosine. Chris, say hi.
Hey.
Chris, it's episode 50. Give him something. Give him a little more enthusiasm.
Hey.
Okay.
That just sounds like you're yelling at me.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling the love. Can you give me a little more vanilla, a little more extra?
I got nothing.
That's okay. That's okay. All right, so what we have in store for you on this episode 50 is a lot of great stuff. We have been doing an episode since, I believe, a week and a half ago. That's my fault. I was at the beach, so I'm back, and they're back, and we're excited to do this. It's been a pretty crazy week. The Red Sox have had some really close games, some really challenging opponents. We just wrapped up the Astros-Red Sox series, and we'll get to all of that. But yeah, let's start in the beginning when the Red Sox split the series with the Colorado Rockies 1-1. I wanted to ask you guys what you guys thought about this series as a whole. Obviously, you had the Chavis walk-off in Game 2, which was the highlight, but you also had the Chris Sale 17-strikeout performance, which ended in quite a heartbreak. What were your thoughts on that Rocky series that split 1-1 in the middle of the week? I'll start with you, Dave.
Well, I'd say it was a pretty rocky run for us. I'm sorry if we just lost 90% of the listenership,
I'm leaving.
You lost two hosts.
Yeah,
too.
I'm out.
Okay, I'm on my own. Flying solo.
That's okay, Dave. Continue.
Yeah, I like terrible puns. But,
me too.
Yeah, so it really is astonishing that we managed to have Chris Sale strike out 17, and the bullpen more or less did their job. They got strikeouts, too. Arenado made two errors, and they lost. Like, that's a thing to write home about. It's truly astonishing they found a way to do that. Now, obviously, the Chavis walk-off was great, and the Rockies are a good team, so you're happy to split. And the team on its own has been on fire, but it's just amazing that they managed to lose that game somehow.
Ryan Brazier and Brandon Workman made that possible.
Yeah, but, you know, Brazier, you've won that one, but Workman's been fine. Been fantastic by and large. That just was a fluke bad performance.
Yeah, that was bad. He got his first save today. So I wasn't mad at Brandon Workman. I was disappointed in the moment, but I also, you know, I understood. I mean, he hasn't had...
You can't get him every time.
No, you can't get him every time. But Ryan Brazier is not my best friend right now. Or actually at any point. Even last year, I was always critical of him. But, yeah, what about you, Chris? What were your thoughts during the series?
I hate two-game series, because they're not really series. It's just like, we're going to play two games here, guys. So that's my first thought. Second thought is... I'm always good for a weird thought, at least one time, right?
But why isn't two games a series? You just
No, that. I'm with you on this.
It's more I'm like a... It's more... I don't even know what to call it. It's just like a... Because you like say the
it doesn't feel like a series.
It's like saying
say the Red
it's
Sox
like saying
won both
I'm
games.
Going to the Empire State Building and you only walk in the lobby. Like sure, technically you were there, but you didn't get the whole thing.
Yeah, like what, if the Red Sox won both games, you're like, oh yeah, they swept what? It's two games. Like that's just the way I look at it. That's how my brain works, and that's how my brain will forever work.
I'm receptive to the argument.
Baseball should be done in threes and fours and fives and sevens.
We've been accustomed to the 3-4. Yeah, okay. All right, continue, sorry.
My other thought was the first game with Sale, with the 17 strikeouts, the top of the lineup, no bueno. No bueno. 4 strikeouts for Benintendi, 2 for Betts, 0-11 between the two of them. No bueno.
Not good.
Benintendi's been...
He's been struggling a little
bit.
Yeah,
that poor guy.
He had 2 hits in the second game against the Rockies, but his OPS is, I believe, dipped below 800. He had an off day today, but it was probably just a normal scheduled day. But yeah, Benintendi has not been doing as hot. Just traded for him in one of my fantasy baseball leagues, so I expect that to turn around.
I did too.
However, oh wow, we bought low.
Yeah.
Look at us, two great minds. That's why we co-host. It was obviously a split series, but I think the heroics of Chavis made up. It was a lot closer than it should have been in the second game, at least. Even though Eduardo Rodriguez did not have a great performance in that one. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I think that little tiny two-gamer, I don't even know what to call it. I'm not calling it a series, but I think it kind of showed the bullpen to have some leaks. I think that's kind of what happened.
We knew they had leaks.
That wasn't a surprise. Okay,
this was like Alex Cora was holding his thumb in like the hole, and then they just like the pressure built up too much on that one, you know?
Yeah, but then I think if you look at today's game and Friday's game against the Astros, you had a case on the other side of the spectrum where Cora left a starter in too long. Rick Porcello in Friday's game, which cost them the game. And then you had Chris Sale, who pitched 6. And if it wasn't for Marcus Walden's double play wizardry, it could have been a lot worse because he was already, I think, close to 100 pitches. And Sale
surpassed it.
Yeah, he surpassed it. And he loaded the bases, and it was like, why did we just do this? But, I mean, Marcus Walden's the best, you know, bullpen setup man in baseball. I can't even call him a setup man, because I don't even know if I'd call Matt Barnes a closer. Whatever he is, Marcus Walden's been a blessing. You had these cases where some bullpen decisions, I don't even know if it was bullpen decisions that went awry or if it was the fact that really the Reds, Cora does not have a lot of good options in the bullpen.
Really strange roster construction all around. It's really when you look at it, like that's kind of you're patchworking a lot right now.
Three or four guys, like, Barnes and Walden, who you'd feel comfortable with in just about any situation.
Yep.
Workman, who is doing fantastic, but objectively is probably pitching a little over his head right now.
Yep.
And you have Hembree and Brazier, who they're not great. You don't like the fact that they're there, but they belong in the majors. They're major league arms, and then there's a whole bunch of nothing. The core is just actively trying to find ways not to pitch them.
Are you receptive or are you enjoying the way Cora's using the bullpen? Because obviously we're not seeing traditionally, at least what we saw last year when Kimbrel was coming in the ninth and he was closing games out and you had like this thing where Barnes would pitch 8 and Kimbrel would go to the ninth and blah, blah, blah. It seemed more orderly than now where it's like Barnes is coming in more high leverage situations, but he doesn't see the ninth all the time. And then you're putting Ryan Brazier in later innings or Hembree or Workman today. What were your thoughts on this bullpen management so far? I'll start with you, Chris, because I want to change things up and get spicy on episode 50.
We like spicy. I think it's almost, like I said, it's kind of patchwork. I feel like I don't want to say he just spins a wheel, because that's not specifically what's going on. That's what it kind of feels like sometimes, because it's almost impossible to tell who's coming out, right? Like it doesn't matter the situation. You're like, I have no clue. He's just kind of using guys and hoping somebody steps up and everybody just at some point pukes on their shoes except for basically Matt Barnes and Marcus Walden, who I gave a clever nickname, Marcus Walden. Get it, huh?
I don't.
Walden? Yeah, he's like a wall. Doesn't let runs up.
Now, you know, I saw that on Twitter, and I'm not going to lie to you, Chris. I didn't get it. I'm sorry. But, I mean, it's fun. I get it now.
This is why I hate you guys.
I mean, I get why you would hate us. I don't know. Maybe we workshop it a little bit. How about that?
We might have to.
We might have to. I mean, the thing is, like, it's better than Dave's Rocky pun earlier, so you're doing better than him.
We're on fire tonight.
We're on fire tonight. You can call me out for something later, I'm sure. Let's transition this to the Astros. Oh, actually, no, I didn't even ask you, Dave. Dave, what do you thought about the management so far?
So I think Carr is doing the best with what he has, generally speaking. I love the fact that he uses Barnes when the best part of the order is coming up, which I feel is the way that you should be using relievers. That's just what's best, because I really don't care if the 7, 8, 9 hitters are scheduled to come up in the ninth inning and you have the heart of the order coming up in the eighth. I'd rather my best pitcher face the best part of their order. The one thing I'd change, and Cora's starting to change it, is that Brazier shouldn't be the fallback guy, because it seems like Cora's been using Barnes when it matters most, and then his second best arm in the ninth, and it's time to accept that Brazier isn't that guy anymore, and he hasn't been doing that. Take today, for instance, he used Workman to close it after Walden bailed Sale out of trouble, and then Barnes took the eighth. I feel like that's the perfect usage. That's what you want to do.
No, yeah, I thought that was really... I hope that's a microcosm to what we're going to see going forward, is where you have Marcus Walden coming in. And arguably, I would say Walden came in the most crucial part of that game with bases loaded. I think it was a 3-1 game at that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he came in for two and one-third, and then you had Barnes come in a big situation in the eighth, and then you had to go to and Workman's obviously, I think, a superior option over Brazier at this point. And I hope that's a learning experience. But the thing is, you're not going to have Walden being able to go two innings every game. You're not going to have Workman and Barnes all being able to go 6, 7, 8, 9. You're going to have to throw in Brazier and Hembree. It's just trying to find the appropriate lower leverage situation. And right now, Cora has not been putting Brazier in opportune situations, because he's been dicey. If it wasn't for that JBJ bailout in Baltimore, his ERA would be inflated even more. It's been hard to watch for him. And Hembree obviously is always kind of edge of your seat. So I think that the ultimate solution is they have to find someone for the minors. Darwin's and Hernandez has done very well recently. I don't know if his career is going to wind up in the bullpen, but the Red Sox, I think, need somebody to create a stronger back end, high leverage bullpen.
I feel like they need to start shuffling some of the guys in and out, like a Brewer, shuffle him out kind of thing.
Maybe just Velasquez, get rid of the problem Velasquez is though. Out. When you look at the guys in the minors, outside of Hernandez, who they're still trying to develop as a starter, all of the relievers are not doing so hot. Yeah. So Travis Lakins, last year he finished with a 1.65 ERA, a 2.60 FIP in Pawtucket. This year, so far, it's a 4.3 ERA, a 5.36 FIP. Mm. Bobby Pointer, so, you know, obviously that's terrible. Bobby Pointer's roughly in the same boat here. He's got... Right now, let me pull up the numbers. He's got a 5.28 ERA, 4.70 FIP. And if you want to go down to Double A, Durbin Feltman, not doing great either. He's walking over 8 guys per 9 innings, which with Portland, you gotta take that with an asterisk, cause like 50 degrees the grand majority of the year or colder. So the numbers aren't gonna look super good, but that terrible command isn't good. His ERA is 7.2. The FIP is 5.89. I fully expect this to just be a blip on the radar. And he's not doing well against the higher competition. He needs more time. So unless you want to completely plug on Hernandez as a starter, there's no good option. Maybe Henry Mejia, but he's okay in Pawtucket, but he's not going to be that big of an upgrade on like Brazier or Hembree, if he even is an upgrade.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what a lot of people are so bad. The guys that you thought were going to be sterling bullpen prospects, they're all not doing well, as you laid out, besides Hernandez, and there's obviously the starter caveat. So that hurts, because if they're not going to be performing well in AAA, it seems to carry water that it's going to be tough sell to get them in the majors and seeing them to execute at that level. Though I think there are guys right now, like Colton Brewer, Thornburg, Tyler Thornburg, who probably shouldn't be on the major league roster, and that they should look for alternatives, maybe even outside of the organization, to try to bolster this patchwork project. Chris, I heard you say something about Hector Velasquez. It was kind of like under your breath. Hector Velasquez should be shuffled out of there.
As like, if you're looking to do a shuffle, yeah.
Okay. So what would that shuffle do? Like, you think he shouldn't be on the roster, or like, do you think he should be cut?
When Eovaldi and Price are back, like...
Oh, okay.
Then shuffle him out, because that's what he's here for, really.
Yeah, a spot starter.
To eat innings. I just don't think... it's not a wasted roster spot, but it's, if you need a shake-up, why not shake up guys that aren't performing? And, you know, when you watch him go out to the mound and puke on his shoes and get one out. Like, I'm all set.
Yeah, well, that's Hector Velasquez, the Triggered. Starter. Hector Velasquez, the reliever, is a pretty decent bullpen arm.
True.
And so, I think Hector Velasquez, the spot starter, hasn't been terrible outside of that really, really, really awful game.
He's, throughout his career, he's significantly better when he's coming out of the, when he's coming out of the bullpen, though. So
I do wonder, even when Eovaldi and Price and everyone was healthy, I know it was the beginning of the year and they hadn't really built up their strength, obviously, and rotation was awful. But they still had Hector Velasquez come in on the sixth day. They were doing a six-man rotation, and that might have just been one or two games there that might have just been arbitrary and just built in for rest. But I wonder if Hector Velasquez still kind of remains in that role going forward. I don't know.
He probably shouldn't, especially when Brian Johnson gets back, because here's the numbers I have. So according to Fangraphs, as a starting pitcher, Velasquez has a 5.04 ERA, 5.29 FIP. Put him in as a reliever, that drops down to a 2.34 ERA and a 3.48 FIP. So significant. Brian Johnson, who's roughly the same either way, be my spot starter. And honestly, I think it's time we give Mike Schworn a chance, too.
Yeah, Mike Schworn's also...
That's long overdue.
Yeah, that is long overdue. Didn't Brian Johnson have some weird splits rotation bullpen?
Last year when they were doing... when they had just moved him to the bullpen and it was a small sample, he was significantly better as a starter than a reliever, but that averaged out over time, I think.
So as a starter, 92 innings in his career, 4.40 ERA. As a reliever, 5.28 ERA. Granted, if you look at the underlying numbers, and I'm trying to look for FIP here, it is a 5.06 FIP as a starter and 4.57 as a reliever, so basically the same. In case anybody was wondering. So Brian Johnson probably represents the more safer option. Is there a timetable on his recovery?
I know he's doing rehab. I don't think there's a fixed time yet, but I know he was throwing off a mound last I heard.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Can I get general thoughts? Well, obviously, let me just say that the Red Sox lost 2-3 to the Astros. It was a very pretty sombering series after, you know, what has been a really hot Red Sox run. They looked overmatched at times against the Astros. Friday was a heartbreaking game. Rick Porcello was left in just a little bit too early. Red Sox could not score the run, couldn't get that walk-off hit that we all really desperately wanted to see. Saturday was just sucked. Hector Velasquez gave up five runs in the first inning, and it was over. And then today, it kind of looked like the Red Sox weren't going to come back, but they did. We had a nice horse home run. And it was via Xander Bogaerts' go-ahead double, and it was a thing of beauty. So now the Red Sox took 1 of 3 from the Astros, and they play them again next week. So in Houston, what were your guys' thoughts on this series? Do you have any general thoughts? I'll start with you, Dave.
So I'm not as heartbroken as the rest of Red Sox Nation is about this series, because when you look at it, the Astros were the hottest team in baseball coming in. They're the most talented roster in the league by my eye, and I get that Altuve wasn't there, but still, you won one out of the three. You probably should have won the first game, and Hector Velasquez started the third, so you were never going to win that one. So you're telling me that this Red Sox team, which struggled so much early on, really held its own against the best the league has to offer? I'm happy with that. That's a good sign for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. Do you know Marcus Walden is 6-0? Well, sorry, tangent here. I know we don't care about that, but he's 6-0. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, third most wins in the majors of anybody.
I think that should be pretty demonstrating of how BS wins are as a stat then.
In fairness, though, to Marcus Walden, everything about what he's doing right now is amazing.
It is.
Like, the underlying numbers, too.
I'm not going to deny the dudes are a beast, but a reliever who's come in at really weird, inconsistent times has 6 wins. That's pretty cool. What about you, Chris? What have you thought? What are your thoughts about this series?
I didn't have much fun in this series until today. But I, like Dave, I think it's more of a, it was one of those test kind of series because the Astros are going to be there at the end. And the Red Sox have hopes of going to the playoffs. They probably have to go through Houston to get to the World Series again, more or less likely. But that team's been a wagon, pretty much, I think, for the most part, except for maybe they stumbled out of the gate off the top of my head.
Yep.
But they've been pretty much a wagon, and the hottest team, and you held your own. The ball bounces a different way. You probably would have won on that first game kind of thing.
Yeah.
Completely random pitcher note, just because you threw one in there. In wins, there's 23 wins. This hasn't been updated today, obviously. The Red Sox have a 1.61 ERA, and losses they have an 8.80. So when they're losing, they're getting wrecked.
I can see that. Yeah,
that's crazy. That's crazy. I wonder if it's the same kind of splits for everybody.
Yeah, I don't know, like, what kind of statistic, if that wavers between teams, but that does seem like a pretty. That seems like a very large discrepancy.
It's like a 7-run difference.
Yeah.
Well, they were atrocious in April.
Yeah, that like the leaks that like, what are those splits normal for like any team? I actually am curious. So
let me see. I'll report back.
Please go through down this rabbit hole.
While
Dave and I talk about Christian Vasquez. So Christian Vasquez had a very nice series. I don't know if you guys are paying attention. He's had a really freaking fine season, too. 898 OPS right now, as of today. Christian Vasquez, the guy who last year had a 40 WRC plus, has never been a plus hitter. Not at the minors, not at any level in the minors, probably not even in T-ball. And the dude has an 898 OPS in 120 plate appearances, a 1.4F WAR coming into before today. The dude's been incredible all around, a 536. Dude's got 6 home runs. His career high was 5.
And the craziest thing is, what he's doing isn't that unusual. Like, I'm looking at his BABIP, it's 329, which is a little high, but it's not so absurdly high that it's the reason for all of this happening. Like, he'd still be an average to slightly above average hitter if he had regular batted ball luck. And I really don't know where this is coming from, because, like, the year he was decent at the plate was 2017, and he got a lot of batted ball luck that year. But, for example, I'm looking at his batted ball info right now. Hard hit rate is at 33%, medium hit rate 56%, soft contact is just 11%. He's seeing the ball really well, so when you see it like that, it's going to, like, he's going to have a higher average. He's going to hit for more power, and his home run was admittedly completely cheap and shouldn't have happened in any other ballpark, but the dude's seeing the ball really well, and it's amazing, and I hope he can keep this up because all the numbers say that he can.
I think the thing to me that is kind of, at least to me, illustrative for my own anecdotal watching the games. Christian Vasquez is, outside of Mookie Betts, the person I trust the most at the plate right now. Like, maybe not the ice horse of J.D. Martinez, but, like, I trust him. Like, I get up there, and I genuinely get giddy. Like, I'm like, oh, let's see how far he hits this one. I never thought I would have that feeling towards Christian Vasquez, even in the slightest minuscule way. The fact that, and as all those numbers, but he's got his highest barrel percentage he's ever running. Exit velocity is up. Launch angle is really up. His expected everything looks great. I mean, expected wOBA may suggest he may be a little over his head, but the thing is, like, even if you get, if he goes down to an 800 OPS, a 750 OPS, a 700 OPS, these were bars that were higher than what we actually thought. We were thinking, oh, if he can get 650 OPS with decent defense, then that'll be okay. I mean, we gave up Blake Swihart, who we thought was going to be the best offensive player of this trio in the beginning with Leon, Vasquez, and Swihart, and a lot of people were devastated because we thought we gave up a really, you know, potential offensive catcher with a lot of hit tool. But Christian Vasquez has been incredible, and it makes me so happy.
This isn't just being a good hitter for a catcher. This is being a good hitter overall.
General. He's, like, out-hitting Bryce Harper right now.
I know, and the thing is, like, catchers, you don't... Anything a catcher gives you offensively, you just take happily. He's still good on defense. He's one of the best all-around catchers in baseball. You can make an argument that 2019 Christian Vasquez is a top-five catcher in the game, and you could make that argument pretty easily.
It's just been, like, so fun to me because, like, I don't expect it. Like this is just, like, the Cinderella of Cinderella stories right now, and I really, really hope it continues.
They're going to rename Cinderella Christian Vasquez.
His walk rate has doubled. He's seeing the ball better. He's being more selective. Oh, my gosh, Dave. Like, I can't tell you, like, how happy this makes me. I didn't know that this is what I needed in my life until it happened, and now I know that I need this to continue because this is fun.
I can hear the smile on your face. Like, you know how they tell you that, like, you can hear when somebody's smiling? Right now is that time for you.
That is that time.
And in things that don't matter at all, his base running metric is better at that than he was last year, too.
Yeah, dude, this guy from a 42 WRC plus last year, from a 0.2 F war, this guy is all fast track to comeback player of the year.
And thank God they didn't trade for Real Muto.
No, right? I mean, Real Muto's got like a 90-100 WRC plus, which is crap, comparatively.
Very good for a catcher, but not compared to our catcher.
Dude, this was a... I remember people... We had one Twitter segment or someone saying that the Vasquez extension was like a travesty and it was really bad. But, I mean, obviously it was really small money, so who the hell cared? But now, look. Look at him. He's making up every single penny in 120 plate appearances. All right, Chris, first of all, I want to turn to you with the Christian Vasquez thing, but I know you were going down a rabbit hole. I wanted to see how deep you have dug.
Yeah, so I went down the rabbit hole, and the league is 1.82 in wins and 8.45 in losses. So
nothing special.
Yeah, it's nothing special. And I even looked up like the Yankees. They're 1.98, 7.89. So you know, I was excited for something cool.
And no, like,
that must just be normal. That must just be like a normal, like, when you're in your losses, you do really bad. And when you win, you do really well, for whatever reason. Probably because there's a lot more zeros when you win.
That's a good thought.
It's probably, probably a thought. I think when we talked about the Vasquez extension, that was me. But I don't think I said the sky was falling. I just thought it was kind of weird that they extended him.
Well, I think of multiple people who've said, I don't think it was just you, if it was you, because I didn't remember it was you, so I'm sorry if that sounded like a call-out, but I had no idea where I heard that. I remember just hearing it.
I'm ready to fight you tonight, so that's okay.
I know. I'm sorry. Do I get one more strike?
No. I just think it's nuts that what he's doing, like, you guys said it all. It's crazy. I don't really have anything else to say.
Okay, so I went down my own rabbit hole here. Of catchers with 120 plate appearances, Christian Vasquez has the fifth highest WRC plus, and which is kind of so surprising. William Contreras is leading the way, or Wilson Contreras, excuse me, and the fourth highest WAR.
What a guy! What a baseball player we have. He batted like fifth today or sixth, like right in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah,
it was fun today. It's been a fun season for Christian Vasquez. When things have not been, you know, really fun until, like, the Ice Horse game and then Christian Vasquez, and now we're getting it. Okay. So now let's talk about people who are not getting it, because Christian Vasquez has been getting it. So there are a couple people named...
A-plus segue, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. There are a couple people named Jackie Bradley.
Wait, whoa. What are they getting exactly?
It.
What is it? Someone define it, please.
It's intangibles. Can't define it.
All right. Continue.
Okay. I was really confused what was happening for a second. Like, I tuned out. Okay. JBJ, Steve Pierce, and Eduardo Nunez are absolutely atrocious. And if you watch today's game, you were treated to Steve Pierce in the sixth hole with his 335 OPS. Eduardo Nunez in the 8th hole with his 432 OPS. Jackie Bradley Jr. in the 9th hole with his 421 OPS. And I know it was a lefty, but it seemed like a travesty that Rafael Devers was between Pierce and Nunez. Like, I didn't like it. I really did not enjoy it. Anyway, Yeah, these guys have all been struggling. I think I expected this from Eduardo Nunez. I mean, I thought he was going to have a bounce back here, but like, if you told me at a 400 OPS, I'd be like, okay. Steve Pierce and JBJ have been my boys. They were my boys last year, and I lobbied for them hard. And in many ways, it worked out for me. These are my two biggest failures as a person, because their failures hurt me more than it hurts them, probably, and their team. So, yeah, I am at a loss for Pearson Bradley Jr. I don't know what it is. I know we've talked about JBJs extensively. I remember last week, our last podcast was right before the Baltimore Orioles game, where JBJ robbed a home run off of Trey Mancini to win the game, to actually save the game, and then they ended up winning in extra innings. But, you know, outside of that, JBJ has been, you know, just hitting it. Was that your tweet, Chris, about name a more dynamic duo than JBJ?
That was me.
That was you? Okay. That was you. That was funny. I thought it was Chris, considering, you know,
he's not. It would have fit his brand.
No, that's why I was.
Hey, I only tweet when I see no one else is tweeting. That's what I do.
Oh yeah, okay.
You have full permission. You can go crazy.
You have full permission. You've said.
Oh no,
a lot
I know, but stuff. I just do it to like keep the audience,
keep
like,
the content.
Yeah, like I don't want to like tweet and then 5 seconds later someone else tweets and then 5 seconds later someone else tweets. It's just,
well, to be fair,
I
David,
feel like
I
our followers expect that out of us.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe they do.
No, they definitely do, and they even, like, again, we talked about this. They expect us to do like contradictory stuff too. So
yeah,
it's fun. Yeah.
Either way, I think last week you said to me, or you said to us, that I think it was you, Pat, that said you can't give up on the World Series MVP quite yet. I think you said that.
And then he robbed. Oh, we're talking about Steve Pierce?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was talking about ALCS MVP. No,
I mean, that one, they, too. Put a blood pull them.
No, I said to you that, yeah, JBJ, I've admitted there something needs to be done. Steve Pierce, I think, is hurt, and I think, because, I mean, he never wanted a rehab assignment in the beginning, but I'm running out of excuses. Can I do the he's not getting consistent at-bats excuses that Blake Swihart had for his whole career? Taking shots.
Here's the thing, when Blake Swihart had consistent bats,
I know. Steve Pierce, never forget what he did for you.
This is what happens when you bring the same team back.
God, he's been so bad, I just don't get it. Man, he's striking out twice. He has 36.2% strikeout rate. His career is 19, struck out 16% of the time last year. His walk rate has sliced in half. I mean, his BABIP's 184. Like, I just don't get how it went so wrong so quick. Like, everything, his hard hit rate was 36.9 last year. It's 18. Like, what the hell? Can someone explain this to me?
See, I was expecting regression. I was not riding the Steve Pierce train as hard as you were, but I thought he'd be like, you know, a decent platoon guy with Moreland. I did not see this coming at all.
I don't think anybody did. I mean, I was fully saddled and ready to go for the Steve Pierce train. But,
you want him to be the 162-game starter.
And I stand by the logic that, you know, informed that decision, but now it's just completely unraveled. I trust the process behind that because his career platoons were better than Moreland, and his season platoons the last 3 years were better, and the year before. However, this has been a dagger to my heart, and I don't know if I'll ever fully recover, and I'm just going to have to keep watching highlights of Christian Vasquez at home runs to get over it, because that's my new Steve Pierce and Jackie Bradley Jr. But yeah, is there any chance that any of these, like, who out of the, like, do you think any of these three can come back?
I think Jackie's got the best shot at it. Well, Pierce is going to come back if you call not being the worst hitter in history coming back, because it's impossible for him to stay this terrible forever. Jackie's doing what he always does, where it's an incredibly slow start. He's going to catch fire for a few weeks. Everyone's going to think it's better. And then you just ride the Jackie coaster and hope that you get good Jackie when the playoffs come around. But you never know if you're going to or not. Nunez is what he is. That's just that's the Eduardo Nunez experience. You signed up for it, and this is what you expected to get.
Okay. What about you, Chris? Do you have any hope for the dynamic tree? That doesn't even rhyme. The triple threat of suck? I don't know. Someone call it alliteration. All right, Chris, what do you think?
The terrible trio.
Terrible trio, there we go.
I have no hope.
For any of them?
There's a black black ball where Hope used to reign supreme for those three.
If I had to say that I'm bouncing, I'm hedging my bets on any of them coming back, I'd probably go JBJ.
Yeah, if you had to tell me one of them was going to come out, snap out of it soon, JBJ would be JBJ. The guy. Yeah, but I'm not.
Because he always does this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's never been this bad.
It's never been this bad.
Kudos to Alex Cora for not hitting them all three in a row today.
I know, but
that would have been hilarious.
It felt wrong that Devers, you know, I know it was against.
That's
Lesley,
why he was
wrong.
Seven. He didn't want three easy outs. He wanted at least one guy who might.
I don't
be
get
able
why all
something.
Three of them were in the lineup.
That's probably why that's probably why Devers didn't really hit much today, because they were just like, you know what, we're gonna pitch around this
they
guy.
They wanted to give Benny an off day, obviously, but I like even right now, I don't even put Steve Pearson against the lefty. I'm putting Moreland in. I don't know. It's been rough, man.
I'm putting Sam Travis in at this rate.
Yeah, you and me both. And that pain to say, you have no idea. Okay. So we have David Price starting on Monday. Do you guys have any expectations for him to come back?
I think he's going to be basically his old self. It's Cora, so he'll probably be on like an 80 or 90 pitch count, but from all accounts, this wasn't anything anyone was seriously worried about, and the fact he's coming back this fast sort of confirms that. So I'm expecting Price to basically be at full strength.
Okay. What about you, Chris?
How much time did he miss?
Two starts.
Two starts, right? Like 2 weeks,
I
basically?
I felt longer. It feels like it's been like a month, but it really hasn't.
And I think it just speaks to why it keeps raining all the time. So that's why I'm like, feel like it's taking forever here, but
it's sunny here.
You know,
fuck off.
Yeah,
no, hey, I don't know.
It's literally been raining for like a year straight in New England.
Can I tell you? It is 95 outside. It was 95 today. It's going to be 98 on Sunday. So I don't know if you prefer cold weather. I'm guessing.
I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I anticipate David Price being David Price. I assume he's going to pick up right where he left off. So, I just think the train's going to keep going.
Okay, me too.
Chugging
I don't really
into
have much
flavor town.
Yeah, I don't have much more to say. He's starting against the Blue Jays, correct? Yeah, the Monday's the Blue Jays, right? Right. Confirm that for me. Somebody.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, Blue Jays, and that's a pretty nice lineup to go against. Except Vlad Guerrero Jr. has hit four home runs in the last 6 days, so. Oh, that's going to be interesting. And he's going to be returning to, you know, his old team, the Blue Jays. Never forget about that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I forgot that he was on the Blue Jays.
People also forget he was on the Tigers. I think that was even shorter.
See, the Tigers I remember.
Yeah, but he was on the Blue Jays, too, when they had Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion right in the middle of their lineup. That was imposing. Yeah. But yes, we have Twitter questions, and they are good Twitter questions. We have four. The first is from Jeff Wax, at Jeff_Wax. Jeff is a wonderful Twitter follower. He constantly engages with us. So, and he's been on, we've shouted him out before. He's asked questions before. So thanks, Jeff, for listening and commenting again. His tweet is, why don't y'all imagine each of you are Dave Dombrowski? Not you implying what DD should do. You are DD. Explains what moves you're making or plan on making and why. Pretend there's full transparency. Well, this is really good. I should have prepared for this before I got on here. That's why we're going to go Dave and then Chris. Dave, go.
All right, I am Dave Dombrowski. So everyone's starting to get healthy. The first thing I do is obviously Chavis needs to stay the everyday second baseman. So when Holt and Pedroia come back, the first thing I do is put Steve Pearce on a designated on the injured list and just put him on a rehab assignment. That frees up one spot. The next thing I do is I probably DFA Eduardo Nunez because I don't really care about the $3.5 million we owe him. That's basically chump change to the Boston Red Sox. But also, if I'm Dave Dombrowski, I might be answering to John Henry, who does care about those sort of things. And if I do, I'm trading Eduardo Nunez and Nicholas Northcutt for a bag of balls somewhere so that I have $3.5 million of spending money later on down the line. I'd rather not do that, but we have a logjam at third base, so if you lose a guy like Northcutt, you know, you can live with that. It's fine. The next thing I do is I look for some bullpen help, Now, Darwin's and Hernandez, David Latham has been on the train for hoping that he can develop into a starter. However, if I'm Dave Dombrowski and I know I need to fix thing ASAP, I look at Darwin's and Hernandez's 7.18 walk rate as a starter in Portland and think to myself, that's probably not going to get better. So I'm giving him a promotion to the majors yesterday. The next thing I'm doing is I'm getting rid of Josh A. Smith and I'm getting Mike Schworn to be my spot starter over Velasquez until everyone gets healthy. Let Schworn do 2 to 3 innings at a time. Let Velasquez take over after that. I think that's going to help you every fifth day. And I'm going to just kind of furiously track the market for any reliever I could trade. And if Jackie gets hot, I'm selling high.
Wow, you should run for president, Dave. That was very full-fledged. Good for you. I like your platform. What about you, Chris? What plans are you going to implement, and what big changes?
I mean, Dave over here, we got a regular Dave Dombrowski over here. He's going to be busy.
He's ready.
Jeez. There's a lot I would do, and I'm a very boring person. I play MLB The Show, and I would totally operate the Red Sox right now as if I'm playing MLB The Show. My first order of business would be to call every single 29 team and be like, hey, you want Eduardo Nunez for literally nothing? Yeah, sure. Here, take him. Have fun. That's priority A, I would think, once everybody's healthy. Beyond that, I would start shopping JBJ because everybody knows my feelings on JBJ. I don't know what you can get for him at this point, but, that's where I am with him. And Pierce would probably either get the DFA tag or he would end up on the IL for quite a while because you got to keep Chavis around, like Dave said. So I don't really have much different than what Dave would do, I don't think. I would definitely shake up the bullpen. I would send Brewer down. I would I don't know if Velasquez has minor league options off the top of my head. I think he does.
He does.
Okay, he's going down too. See you later. And especially, that's my two moves when David Price comes off and when Eovaldi comes off. Those are my two moves for that. But other than that, I mean, I don't – what Dave said – Dave, you're almost like always right, man. I just
– See, now, here's the – I'm going to fight you on the Velasquez thing. You know he's not a great – reliever. He's not a godsend. He's never going to make an all-star team. But Josh Smith exists, and he's on the roster.
That is true. That is true. But he's pitched to...
Tyler Thornburg exists.
Ryan Weber is
on the roster.
But I'm Dave Dombrowski.
Weber's been good. Give him
I'm Dave Dombrowski, and I traded some really good guys for Tyler Thornburg. So
3 years ago.
I got to keep him here, man. I got to keep him here.
And now Travis Shaw is tied with the worst WAR in baseball.
What's Carson Smith doing? Is he dead?
He's he can't throw yet.
Oh, he's still dead?
Still dead.
Oh.
Still dead. So, that's what you're going to do, Chris?
There's a lot more that I would do, but it would probably take me like 30 minutes to explain it all, and I would have to sit here and figure out what I'm doing exactly. So, yes.
So, I...
Wait, time out. Are we allowed to be Dave Dombrowski in the minors?
See what I'm saying? Like, if you want to get me weird, I'll start packaging minors.
Because Dahlbeck needs to be in AAA now.
There we go.
You could do that, man.
Like, yeah, Dahlbeck needs to go to AAA. He spent time in Portland last year, so it's not like we're rushing him up too fast. I'd put him there, but Duran needs more time in Single A. Give him another month, and then, man, let him destroy Portland.
Okay. So if I...
Do you guys remember Sean Tolleson?
Yeah.
I would take a flyer on that guy. Is he still playing?
Why would you... Really?
He's not... He's a free agent.
I'd pick him up,
throw him in the minors. That's what I would do. There's another thing I would do.
I mean, they could use some bats. It can't be worse than Sam Travis, right?
He's not a bat. He's a reliever.
He's an arm.
Oh, okay. Obviously, I don't know Sean Tolleson. I was just talking to my ass.
He last pitched in 2016, so you might have to knock off a few cobwebs.
Yeah, but you know what? There was something there at one point.
I don't mean in the majors. I mean he last pitched in baseball in 2016.
Oh.
And also, when he did that, he had a 7.68 ERA and a 5.42 FIP.
All right. Okay, we're not doing that. Yeah.
We're not doing that.
We're not doing that.
You're fired, Dave.
Dave out.
So, If I'm Dave Dombrowski, which would be really fun and really scary, and I'm not equipped to be Dave Dombrowski,
this would overwhelm me. Be like, ah!
This would overwhelm me, too. I'd expand the analytics department. Try to, I'm not going to go that deep into it. but I would. I would. I would definitely think... I would just get Mookie Betts whatever the hell he wants, and I know he's going to... I feel like he has to have a number, and I'm willing to go to at least 450, and I'm willing to just put my name and just have him sign it, and that would be first order business.
That sounds like off-season talk.
This is off-season talk.
Well, no.
We're Dave Dombrowski right
Dave
now.
Dave Dombrowski needs to save the 2019 Red Sox, even though they're on a good track.
Okay, I didn't know that that was a parameter of what Jeff was asking. Okay,
it's implied.
It's implied. Okay. Then, the thing is, Dave, you took so much of what I was gonna do,
That's
so I don't
saying.
Have anything
Dave,
to read.
Dave is always the best at these things.
Go first next time.
Darwin's and Hernandez, I would call up. I would release Tyler Thornburg. Eduardo Nunez.
This Dave Dombrowski is keeping Tyler Thornburg.
I'm happy for. I would.
He's also going after Sean Tollison, so don't...
this Dave Dombrowski might be fired.
I would closely monitor Marco Hernandez. Marco Hernandez just got called up to AAA, correct?
Correct.
And he is running some pretty impressive numbers. 374 OBP in Salem, 385 slug. And, I mean, the thing is, he's a pretty good glove, and he's been away from baseball for a while, but he's going to be better than Eduardo Nunez. And this is going to be resolved as there's some second baseman coming back. But in the short term, Eduardo Nunez does not have his place on this roster, so Marco Hernandez is very intriguing to me. I'd give him a little bit of time, maybe 20, 30 games in AAA before I do anything, but that'd be first order business. I'm actually keeping JBJ. I'm going to ride him. Look, even if you send him down to AAA, you don't have a really good option in the major league.
You can't send him down to AAA.
You can't send him down to AAA. Even if you trade him or release him, which wouldn't make any sense, if you trade him or somehow find a way to get him off the team or bench him. I just don't think there are a lot of good options right now.
Bryce Brandt.
And he's not...
he's terrible.
Even if he establishes some sort of hot streak offensively and the Red Sox are able to kind of fudge some value out of him, I'm still not trading him because I don't think that JBJ, you're going to be able to find an alternative for his skill set, and I know his skill set is very inconsistent, but he's not making that much. It's going to depend on how much arbitration, but relative to some other center fielders who have a cap of a 3-4 win season, I think that's pretty rare to find, and I'm still banking that there's that guy there. So JBJ is staying. Christian Vasquez, I don't know what to do with Christian Vasquez. I'd make him team MP or something. Do I have the authority to do this? Alex Cora.
I feel like that's a general election thing.
Yeah, that's a general election thing. I'm not going to pretend I'm Alex Cora, but yeah, that's Hernandez is up. I would definitely shop the market for relievers, and I would do so aggressively. I don't know who I would trade to do that, but I would definitely be looking for relievers to bolster to this bullpen because there's only two guys I really, really trust right now, and it's not sustainable to have guys like Josh Smith. Even Ryan Weber, I'm sorry. I know he's doing well, but I don't think that's sustainable.
It's Colton also Brewer, 8 innings.
Yeah, Colton Brewer is not great. He's actually struggled pretty significantly so far. I think there's a decent arm there, but it hasn't really materialized. And as I said, Tyler Thornburg just absolutely sucks. So you need at least one quality arm in the back of their pen. And considering your window is shortening, this is the time to actually get a reliever who's somewhat good. And Craig Kimbrell's out there. I wouldn't sign him, but I would start engaging in potential 1 year discussions if he wants to reestablish his value at a lower price. Because I mean, the thing about Craig Kimbrell, he's great and he wouldn't pitch as well. But it was the contract that ultimately was why they didn't go in that direction because we thought it was going to be a lot of years for a lot of money. It was going to block some other extensions. But now that you've extended Bogarts and you've extended other people, you kind of have more and Chris Sale. And you have more of a feel for what kind of financial parameters you're playing with. So if you don't want to give a prospect capital and you have a little bit wiggle room with the cap, I think Kimbrel still should be on the radar. So, yeah, that's me.
Want to get weird with it?
I want to get a little weird in saying the whole, the guys that Dombrowski traded away should just go back and undo those trades.
Yeah. Trade the Padres for Ian Kinsler and then trade Kinsler to the Angels for Ty Buttrey.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I want to back that one up. That's one of them.
I mean, no, but for a semi-realistic, never going to happen, but in my Dave Dombrowski twisted universe, Jackie Bradley gets hot, and if you could trade him for anything worthwhile, like, don't give him away for nothing, but if you can get a halfway decent prospect, like someone who would rank in the 15 to 20s on our current system, if you could get that, you put Mookie in center field, Zhu Weilin in right, and Benintendi in left, and go nuts with it the rest of the year.
I'm not that big on Zhu Weilin, where I would feel comfortable seeing he'd be an upgrade at this point, but
I'm Zhu not Weilin that is, big on Jackie Bradley Jr.
What has Zhu Weilin showed you? The guy's like had a 90 WRC plus in the minors, and his defensive metrics have never been good.
You know what you're getting.
With Zhu Weilin?
You know what you're getting. He's, if nothing else, he's consistently serviceable. Like, he's not going to set the world on fire, but Jackie's just, you run the risk of him being terrible when it matters. You never know if it's going to be good Jackie, and more often than not, it's the bad one. Sure, he can inflate his numbers by going on a, like, supernova, like, unbelievable streak of greatness, but more likely than not, you're not going to have that when September and October come around.
But at the end of the day, I'm getting two wins.
See, this is where you and I disagree significantly about this.
About like, see, consistency over the body.
Yeah, to
like,
me,
yeah.
To me, it does matter. Like, I value consistency more than you do. I don't really care what the WAR is at the end of the day if he's going to suck in September and October, because you have enough other guys that can get you into the tournament. I want a guy that, when it matters, when the season's happening, I want to know he's going to give me something of value instead of just be an empty, gaping black hole at the bottom of the lineup.
And I will say that, yeah, JBJ does run the risk of going a really bad slump when it matters the most, but we know what he did when it mattered the most in 2018. So I
look how he did in 2016, 2017, and the grand majority of the time he's at the plate.
Okay, but first of all, entire 2017 offense was pretty much a disaster. And,
okay, that's fair.
And like, I mean, even like when they got into the playoffs, the whole team just took a huge crap. So I do think I'd rather have JBJ. And like, I agree with you. Like, if you can trade JBJ and get younger and get a good prospect, because there's still a market for a quality center fielder with that kind of skill set, even if it at an inconsistent rate. So if you can get a prospect, yeah, I just wouldn't do it for a reliever, because I value position players more, and I think that at this point, JBJ's future as a Red Sox isn't necessarily doomed. I still think there's a good player in there, and I will say this until episode 100.
Until the day Jackie Bradley dies.
And then, yeah, and I still have my jersey there, and I wear it less often than I used to, but I still wear it proudly underneath a heavy jacket that no one really can peek through. Any other thoughts on this?
I'm gonna need like 6 hours to figure this out. I'll come back to you next episode with like an hour long dissertation on what I would do to fix the Red Sox.
Yeah, we should all do like MLB The Show simulations and take the team apart.
I could do that.
You could totally do
that.
I could
build a super
PS4
team. The problem is I would do stupid things, like I would trade, like I would take some guy that nobody would trade, like a Rafael Devers or whatever, and I'd trade him away for like some frontline pitcher that doesn't cost anything or something like that. Because
see,
the computers
in
MLB The Show are
stupid. I hate you for saying the words, I would trade Rafael Devers.
I was trying to think of a guy off the top of my head, and he was the first one that popped into my head. I don't know why.
Like, that sentence right there, just go, I don't care if you're trading him for Mike Trout and the Angels pay all the money. Okay, I'd do that.
Okay,
but
come
like,
on.
Aside from
that.
Let's be real.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to the other questions, because we have three more. YOLO Swaggins at... Yo, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4 O's. Low Swaggins says, who of the following would you DFA, assuming no one had options? Eduardo Nunez, Tyler Thornburger, Heath Embry. So is this just, are we picking one, or can I just pick all, like, as many as
I want?
Yeah,
you gotta pick one.
Rank them.
Rank them. Rank them's a good idea.
All right, Chris, you go first this time.
Who are the guys again?
Nunez, Thornburg, Embry.
Nunez is one. It's going to hurt me. I'm going to stab myself in the heart right now. Thornburg's two. And Hembree's three.
Thornburg is number one. There's a mountain. Then there's 50 feet of crap. Then there's Eduardo Nunez, and then there's Heath Hembree.
There's a mountain. See, and 50
I don't,
feet of crap.
Eduardo Nunez is not a good baseball player, but Thornburg is atrocious. There's nothing to like about him.
Hey,
so
he
shouldn't be on the team right now.
Scoreless. We're good.
Yeah, good for him. It was 17 to nothing.
I don't think it was.
Or whatever it was. It was a blowout. He's a position player that doesn't hit. They only put him in when it doesn't matter, and he usually is bad.
Was this on Saturday that he went to scoreless?
It wasn't a blowout, was it?
7-3. It was a blowout. They'd lost.
I don't call that a blowout.
That game was over.
That's not Grand Slam proof.
They turned to like a
And if
of
they
guys.
Somehow got a Grand Slam, do you really think Thornburg was coming back out?
Given the state of the bullpen, maybe.
No.
They use Ryan Weber in higher leverage situations. Ryan Weber.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Dave's list. One, Tyler Thornburg. Two, Eduardo Nunez. Three, Heath Hembree shouldn't be in the same breath as this. Honestly,
the one that doesn't really make sense is Heath Hembree on that list.
Like, he's not good, but he's a better. He's a fringe major league arm.
I would argue
Eduardo Nunez is a liability where you have a lot of second basemen, and Thornburg doesn't even belong in Little League.
I would argue Heath Embry's our fourth best reliever right now.
You guys are throwing a lot of like unintentional jabs tonight at me. It's really hurting.
No, I'm throwing jabs at Thornburg. It's your fault for standing in the way of the knives.
True.
Hey, Chris, I'm throwing jabs at your way tonight because you sent out a tweet with the Heath Embry tweet about two of us hate Heath Hembree. What was it exactly?
What did I say exactly? I'm gonna
look One of us likes Heath Hembree. The other two are smart.
Something like that.
And I came in with that in mind, Chris, tonight.
That's okay.
Heath Hembree's not that bad.
I can take it and I can dish it out. That's what I'm here for. That's what we're all here for.
A little dish and take.
Yes.
The next question is by In the Rafters podcast, and they are at In the Rafters pod. And their question is, how many dong shots will JD end with this year? Dave, you go first.
Let's do 34.
Okay.
By the way, my favorite way to describe home runs now is dong shots.
Only works for JD, though.
Piss missiles, dong shots.
No, just in general. I'm just going to call them all dong shot now. You're going to see a tweet one of these times, guys, and it's going to say dong shot. Like, what's Chris doing?
Change the password.
It's just going to be in capital letters, dong shot.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, nothing else. It's not going to say who. It's just going to say dong shot. You guys are going to be like, what? All right, so how many home runs is he at right now?
Nine.
What month is it? May. What day is it? The 19th. Okay, so how many games are left? Math.
Probably like 120. No. Yeah, 110.
41.
Ooh. Wow. How many did you say, Dave?
I said 34, which I'm feeling is low, but I'm sticking with my guns.
I'm gonna go 31. I haven't been feeling JD Martinez as much this year. I mean, obviously he could never repeat what he did last year, but I like anecdotally feel like he's not hitting the ball with the same amount of launch. But that is completely anecdotal, so I don't even know if that's true. But yeah, that's why I'll say 31, and give me the low bar. All right, last question, and we touched on this like we touch on every podcast about JBJ. Ryan Smith at Echoes. Wow. Sorry. At Echoes 5296. Will JBJ get traded by the deadline for a power outfielder? I will say definitively no. JBJ will not get traded for a power outfielder. And because JBJ, even if he starts to go on a really hot streak, it would be kind of, it's definitely the realm of possibility, but I don't think you're going to add up that much value to the point where a power outfielder would be an upgrade. I can't even imagine who you'd net for a power outfielder. I'd rather have the guy who's...
I was going to say, define power outfielder.
Yeah, like...
Because Joey Gallo is technically a power outfielder.
There's no way we get Joey Gallo.
I'm just telling you, like, that's...
I don't know when Joey Gallo became a superhuman, but Joey Gallo's a superhuman.
That's one of those things where if they could do it, they'd do it in a heartbeat, but how could you find a suitor?
Hanley Ramirez is technically a power outfielder.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously it depends on the scale, but I think I always am on the side of getting the guy who's more multi-tooled, but then again, it depends how much power we're adding, so this is a hard question to answer.
Yeah, it's a hard, like, I would... It's a hard equivalence. It goes back to the David Dombrowski thing. I'll give you a 15-minute dissertation next week when I have some time to put it together, you know?
Yeah. Start typing.
Yeah. Be 15 pages long.
So I guess we'll both say... I'll say... I don't know, but no. No, we're not going to trade an outfielder for an outfielder.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade JBJ for an outfielder. That's not what I would do.
Feel weird, you know. What about you, Dave?
I doubt you could get anything like in terms of ready this instant talent for Jackie. But you know, if you could go crazy, but I don't see a suitor. If you're gonna trade Jackie for anything, you're probably getting either a high A prospect with a decent ceiling but a low floor, or you're getting a middling AAA prospect who might be ready next year.
Or a reliever, potentially, but I'm...
A remarkably average reliever, not a good one.
Oh, I think you get a really good reliever.
You think?
Think about, like, the growing rate for relievers. It's never that high.
By the time the trade deadline comes around, it gets pretty high.
It depends. I think they get a really good reliever for JBJ. I mean, even, like, a somewhat competitive team might be interested in if they have some bullpen depth. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I think they could get something good because he's still got a year of control, relatively cheap if he plays like he should. But it all depends. Okay, that's actually gonna do it for episode 50. 5-0. Yay, guys! Give yourself pats on the back.
Yay!
But departing thoughts for each of you. Chris, give me your departing thoughts first.
I don't really have a departing thought this week.
Ooh,
I've laid it all on the table for you.
Yeah, we've really put our hearts on
the
sleeve.
I emptied the cup. The cup was running over. The cup is now empty.
Will the cup be refilled?
If the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, yes.
Ah, ha, ha. That was quick. That was good. Good for you. Good for you, man. Do you follow hockey? You like the Bruins?
I do not follow the hockeys.
Oh, okay, those are the hockeys.
I probably will watch the Stanley Cup, but I do not follow.
Dude, playoff hockey's a different beast. Yeah. I live for it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a very casual Bruins fan in the regular season, but once the postseason starts and the Bruins are in it, like, you got to watch it. There's nothing as good as playoff hockey in this world.
Really? I've never really watched playoff hockey that much. But
Oh, my God, you are missing out. It's a completely different sport from regular hockey, and I like regular hockey, but my God, everything just gets turned up to 11. It is insane, and it's it's just so much fun.
My favorite thing is after all said and done, the teams release like what people were dealing with, and one guy's got like a punctured lung, another guy's playing on a broken leg for 2 weeks, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, hockey players are nuts. I remember after the 2013 Stanley Cup, Patrice Bergeron played through Game 6, which they ended up losing, with a punctured lung, fractured ribs, and I think a separated shoulder. And he played, like, more minutes than anybody but Chara, and he was good.
Yeah,
kill me.
Yeah, that would kill
everyone. That would literally die.
That would kill everyone but him and Eduardo Nunez.
Nunez is made of... Yeah.
You can't forget about him. I don't really watch playoff hockey, but I just know that a lot of my fellow North Carolinians are not doing too hot after what the Bruins just did to them.
Yeah.
No one cared about the Hurricane. I've never seen a Hurricane fan in Charlotte. And they all just start popping up. There's not a huge market here. Anyway, my departing thought will be... Mitch Moreland, we talked about him getting 30 home runs. on the last podcast what his chances were. I think I said I wasn't sure, but I'm fully on board now. 12 home runs through 40 games. Give me 30 home runs for Mitchell Moreland. What about you, Dave? Departing thought.
Okay, so Tanner Huck update, everybody. Keep in mind, caveat for most of these stats are from April in Portland when everything's just weird, but he's looking pretty good. Has a 4.67 ERA, which isn't good, but a 3.54 FIP. That's a good thing. His strikeout rate is higher than last year. His walk rate's down. So, you know, looking good for the Tanner Huck as a starter club.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for everyone. Who do you guys think's going to... Oh, before you go, who do you think's going to sit on the Iron Throne?
No, representative democracy.
Yeah. I don't watch Game of Thrones either, but that's what's happening right now.
I read the books, and I hear the show's just gone so, like, spiraling downhill ever since the writers had to make stuff up on their own.
Yeah, I heard it was bad. It's been a really awful last season. But, yeah. All right, guys, so you can listen to this podcast that we are speaking right now. You can listen to it on a variety of platforms, including Spotify, Anchor, SoundCloud, and if our lovely affiliates and the Grueling Truth post it, you can hear it on it even more, like iHeartRadio. So it's not for a lack of content or places to find us. We're also on Twitter at BoSoxUnfiltered. We all three now tweet from that account. Chris is a new addition, and it gets weird. It gets repetitive, but trust me, it's always fun. And then you obviously should go to RedSoxUnfiltered.com. We have daily recaps, great content, breaking news stories, all that good stuff. So please go to RedSoxUnfiltered.com and not only listen to our voices, but listen to our words being typed on the page, and you can read them because it's a fun time. So yeah, guys, thank you for listening. I hope next time we will be presenting this, the Red Sox will have be even higher, over 500. Yeah, go Sox, guys. Thanks.
I need to just do like a blooper
reel. I'm gonna create
just
a blooper set. Is that Chris returning?
Maybe. Maybe it's Chris leaving.
It sounded like a chair, like someone was sitting in like a really big wooden rocking chair. That's what I got. Does he sit in a rocking chair while he does his podcast? That'd be pretty badass.
Badass isn't the word I'd use, but yeah.
It would just show, like, you know, a casualness, like a I don't care attitude.
Yeah, he is the bad boy of the podcast.
Oh, he is totally the bad boy of the podcast. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like, I lean during the podcast. Like, I have a chair, and I, like, there have been times where I've almost busted on my ass and fallen off, but I have not yet, so...
Nice.
50 episodes.
Good work.
50 episodes. I haven't done it yet.
This is the one.
This is the one. It would be very fitting for the 50th.